Okay, now we are at Colossians chapter 3:18. This morning's title is that we are continuing this, following this text, and I've titled it as The Rules of Engagement in Godly Living, Part 3. How many parts are we going to have? I don't know. Probably a few more. Okay, let's start. If there is anyone who thinks that Bible is archaic and no longer relevant because it was written several thousand years ago, like a Old Testament 6,000 years ago, and no, 4,000, I'm sorry. And then New Testament about 2,000 years ago, mostly. So people think that it's antique and no longer relevant. That person, if that person is here, or if you think that way, that is incorrect. It's very, very relevant because it deals with human nature. Are you with me? It's not dealing with a culture, nor is talking about trend or technology. If there is anyone who thinks that Bible is no longer relevant for 21st century living, that person, I can't even challenge that that person never read the Bible from cover to cover. We can only defy against God's word with the flimsy excuses, but truth remains, no matter what we think. And we are responsible for what we don't do after we learn. Are you with me? You are not as responsible as after you learn what to do and you don't, if you don't do that. This portion of the book of Colossians is so practical to us. We've been studying this portion last 2 weeks. And if we follow these principles mentioned in next 8 verses from today, from this Sunday and next 8 verses, we would not have a marital conflict, or divorce, or children and parent problem, or employer and employee conflicts. Of course, that will take care of any reason for the employee union and greedy employers issues automatically. But we are going to cover just one verse today, 3:18. So let's stop and pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to come to your presence, to hear from you, not from men, straight from your word. You speak to us. Let us not think that it is just another Bible story. Let us not think that it is just old story. It is extremely practical thing that we must heed so that you alone receive glory. You institute marriage. If we do it, if we lived our lives according to your way, we would not have a problem. But our sinful nature gets in the way. Father, teach us how to honor you first, how to submissive to you first, and submissive to one another. Father, we are asking you to teach us. Open our heart and give us anointing that we may understand your word. And anoint the one who speaks, that he may speak your word, not his own. Father, we pray for this virus, coronavirus, another influenza, to be removed from this earth, that people may recover from their illness. And Father, we pray that you give wisdom to President Trump. And Father, we are asking your hand to be upon this election. Then your will be done. And we pray for our troops, law enforcement personnel, and firefighters, Father. Another police officer got killed in Washington, D.C. Comfort the family and friends. And during this difficult time, our troops and law enforcement personnel and the firefighters may turn their heart to you, come to know Christ if they don't know you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to make a suggestion to husbands. Do not poke your wife during the teaching, okay? Next week, it's your turn. And you better be here. Verse 18 of Colossians 3. Wives, would you underline word submit? Submit to your own husband as is fitting in the Lord. The Greek word, ancient Greek word, hupotasso, is translated submit in essentially a word borrowed from the military. It literally means to be under in a rank. It speaks of the way the army organized among levels and of rank. There are levels of rank, and you are obligated to respect those are in the higher ranks. I learned this thing from hanging around with the David Munson Airways personnel. The people standing at the door, the gate guards, when they salute, they are not saluting to a person. Rather, they are saluting to the rank that person is having. Let me put it this way. A private can be a better person, smarter, and more capable than a general. But still, that private must respect the office of general. You follow me? Now, in non-military use, it is a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, and assuming responsibility. In the same way, the wife does not submit, in the same way, if she doesn't submit to her husband because he deserves it. She submits because he is her husband. The idea of submission doesn't have anything to do with someone being smarter or better or more talented. It has to do with a God-appointed order. Did you get that? God-appointed order. God created which one first, male or female? Come on, answer me. That's why he put the more responsibility on man. He has more accountability than woman. Some people will say that a wife should submit to her husband as if he was God himself. That would be far from the truth. There's no place in the Bible said that. You with me? If somebody's, a boyfriend or your husband, tell you that you should submit to me as if I am a God, and pick up the frying pan, hit him on the side of the head, maybe he'll wake up from his La La Land concept. Did I just endorse the violence? No. Forget that portion. To violate this is to commit a sin of idolatry. Here are the few points. We're going to explain this more, but here are the 6 points I would like to make regarding submitting to her own husband. Number one, for wives, submission to her husband is a part of their Christian lives. Number two, when a wife does not obey this phrase, submit to your own husband as is fitting in the Lord, she does not fall short as a wife. Rather, she falls short as a follower of Jesus Christ. Third point, this submission has nothing to do with your husband's intelligence or giftedness or capability. It has everything to do with honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is a command from the Lord. Fourth point, when husband asks the wife to sin, she must not submit. Okay, you follow me? Don't think that this sin is kind of your idea of sin, the Bible idea of sin. Fifth point, when a husband is violent and physically threatening, the wife may not submit. We're going to talk more about that. Next point. When the husband breaks the marriage bond, by adultery, the wife does not need to submit to her husband, being in an adulterous relationship. According to Word of God, if the husband or spouse commit adultery because of hardness of heart, Jesus speaking, that person can leave the relationship. God's way of submission does not have a selfishness and conceit, competition, and pulling rank, domination, and disorder. Our Lord Jesus Christ modeled it for us. Would you keep your finger there and go to Matthew chapter 20, please. Matthew 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, do you see that how important understanding in context? It helps us to think of biblically, and rather than swing to the cultural extreme or our narrow human mindset. Women's Lib culture, or the movement, in my opinion, did more damage to women than helping women. They think that women can do anything they put their mind into it. Yes and no. Politicians decided trying to be equal so they can get more votes from women voters. So they said, well, women can be in combat like a man. They did a study. I don't know why they do a study, but I guess it's to prove. U.S. Marine did that study. One group of a company, nothing but men. Another group of a company, and women and men mixed. They went for the goal together. Not in the same way. I mean, not in the same location. Two separate locations, same kinds of situation. Men did a whole lot more than this mixed crowd. Number one, woman's body is not capable to carry a lot of stuff on them. They can take a whole lot more pain. Good example, pregnancy. If the man had to carry a child, we all die. The first thought of pain will just kill us right at that moment. Any of you guys remember when you were in the military, any of you guys carried a mortar base plate? That's heavy. And all the machine gun and ammunition, about 200 rounds on your belt, making a crooked cross. Women just cannot handle that kind of thing. There are things women can excel over men. But at the same time, there are things women cannot do. So don't try to make it as a same equal thing. There is a reason why God created you different than men. And you should take it as a privilege. There's a great philosopher named Renee Hamby. Some of you know her. She said, a submissive wife has someone else to blame when the things go wrong. Brilliant thought. Brilliant thought. To support this portion of the scripture, 3:18, there is a parallel verse in Ephesians. So would you turn your Bible to Ephesians, two books before, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. He, Apostle Paul, gives two reasons for this command. Number one is the lordship of Jesus Christ in verse 22. Second reason is the headship of man in Christ. Is the first portion of verse 23. When Christian wife to submit herself to Christ and let him be the Lord of her life, she will have no difficulty submitting to her husband. This does not mean that she become a slave or doormat. You hear me? She doesn't need to be a doormat. Because the husband also ought to submit to Christ. Let's go back to our memory verse, Ephesians 5:21. It reads, submitting to who? Submitting to one another in the fear of God. If we submit to God, husband submit to God, wife submit to God, they will submit to each other. Are you with me? Ladies, you are submitting to your husband because the Lord put your husband as the head of your family and give him more responsibilities and more accountability, not because you are lesser than him or inferior in comparison with him. Our God is not gender biased God at all. Some of you ladies thinking, oh, preacher, there may be in Ephesians and Colossians, but is there any other place in the Bible? Oh, yeah, I'm glad you asked. Go to the 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. It says, wives, be submissive to your own husband. Does your Bible read the same way? Okay, it mentioned the three different places telling wives, submit to your own husband. Do you need more spiritual reference than that? I think that's enough, don't you think? Submitting to your husband should not be taken to mean that a wife is allowing her husband to walk all over them. Nor are they to be a silent slave who wordlessly carry out the husband's order. Absolutely not. That's not what God is telling us to do, or telling you to do. It means that wives are willingly support her husband's leadership, not interfering or undermining him, especially in front of your children. They are to be active participants in the challenging task of running a Christian home. They are to do everything they can to encourage and support their husband's leadership in their home. I'm going to revisit this portion, but I'm going to say it. Ladies, do not undermine your husband in front of your children. Okay? You're belittling your husband. That's absolutely no-no. When the husband is in error or even in outright sin, it is the wife's responsibility to lovingly confront him, pointing him back to the lordship of Christ as the ultimate authority. Am I making sense? Ladies, am I making sense? When the Christian husband and wife, the Christian husband and wives should pray together, spend time in the Word so that they may know God's will for their individual lives and their home. Most of the marital conflict I've dealt with as a pastor stem from the failure of the husband and wife submitting to Christ first and spend time in the Word and seek to do His will each day rather than they want to do what they want selfishly. If you're single, you need to learn this. And that explains why a Christian person should marry a Christian, not become unequally yoked together. As mentioned in 2 Corinthians 6:14. If you're a single person, hear me well. Don't say, well, he goes to church. He can go to church with me. Or he believes in God. That doesn't work. Find out if that person is a born-again Christian before you even go out date with that person. Are you listening? It is extremely important. If you don't do that, it's unequally yoked. I made this illustration. How would you like to have a Great Dane and Chihuahua with the same yoke? Can they do anything together? Whenever Great Dane saw the rabbit, he's going to take off and Chihuahua is going to fly in the air. Same thing. It is extremely important for you to stay within the family of God. Let me put it this way. There is no such a thing as evangelism dating or evangelism marriage. If you try to bring that person to Christ, there is a less possibility doing that than that the other unbeliever bring you down to unbelieving status level. I can almost hear some of you ladies thinking, I'm married to heathen, almost heathen. What can I dump him? I don't like him anymore. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 13. And a woman has a husband who does not believe, and if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. Is that clear? In the last portion of verse 22 in Ephesians chapter 5, Scripture says, as to the Lord in God's instruction for wives. Sadly, some men have twisted to say that wives should treat husband as if he is the Lord. Nothing could be further from the truth. We have one Lord and a triune God who is visible in the flesh by Jesus Christ, and no other God. As I mentioned, if you do that, if we are forced to do that, you are committing the sin of idolatry. Ladies, if your husband is insisting that way, tell him you are not Jesus Christ. Back off. Kindly. Verse 23, second half of verse 23 in chapter 5. As also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Stop there, please. If the husband loves and sacrifices himself for the sake of his wife, just as Christ did for us, then his wife will joyfully love and sacrifice herself for him in return, as the church does for Jesus. Now, some of us may have cast a weary glance of the word in everything, those two words. We have to be very careful not to overstate this biblical teaching on authority. If the husband misuses his God-given authority, for example, by commanding her what God is forbidding or forbidding what God is commanding, the wife's duty is no longer consciously to submit, but consciously to refuse to do so. To submit in such a circumstance would be disobeying God. Here's a simple principle you ladies need to understand. Wife must submit to her husband right up to the point where disobedience to human authority would involve disobedience to God. Am I making sense? Since we talked about the theological aspect of the submitting to husband, let's talk about practical side. I see three things. First one is respect. By the way, when the Lord teach women about the marriage, he says, respect your husband, submitting to your husband. He never says to women, love your husband, because they already know. It's a built-in system. Wives know how to love husband. But for husband, God said, love your wife as Christ loved you. First one is a respect in verse 33 in Ephesians chapter 5. Back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Let the wife see that she respect her husband. You really cannot say that you submit to your husband if you don't respect him in words and actions. You are not married to a child, ladies. Rather, you married to a man whom you were deeply in love with. I hope that you still are still in love with him in the same depth. Do not treat him like the one of your children. Then objection might come up from some of you. My husband is childish. You're probably right. Unless he's on diaper, don't try to change him. You cannot change him. I guarantee you. I was a plain jerk to my wife, Karen, when I was not a Christian. She tried. It didn't work. So she tattled on me to God. It worked. By the way, the more you tell your husband to change, the farther he's going to run. You hear me? There's a things better way to handle it. Nagging doesn't help any. Second point, be careful how and what you say about your husband. Be careful how and what you say about your husband. The late Ruth Graham, the wife of the late evangelist Billy Graham, was married over 60 years. And she said, "It is God's job to keep Billy humble. It is my job to love him." Very wise. There are too many Christian wives who think that it is their job, their God-given job, to keep their husbands humble, even belittle them. Guess what? The Lord has never given you that job. Let me put it this way. When someone say nice thing to your husband in front of you, don't belittle him, don't cut him down, make him look bad. And then you turn around, "I was just joking, sweetheart." Do you think that works? If you think that works, let me put it this way. How about this? You have nice dress, and you and your husband went to somewhere, and you met people, and they compliment your dress. What if your husband says, "Nah, she doesn't look good. She looks like a big fat cow." Then he turned around, "I was just joking, sweetheart." Would that work? That's when you grind the eggs, right? Do not belittle your husband, especially in front of other people and especially in front of your children. When was the last, ladies, when was the last time you gave a good, honest, hearty compliment or praise to your husband? If you have to think, it's long overdue. Okay? Guys, keep your elbow to your side. Please, ladies, please look for good things of your husband. Compliment. When he does something, he's trying to do something for you. And he didn't meet your standard. Compliment him. "Thank you for trying this. Thank you for doing this." Guess how much more he will do, try to please you. Think, ladies. Cutting him down does not help any. One more thing. I probably will get in trouble, but it's not the first time I say this kind of thing. Ladies, you are not right all the time, every time. Okay? It is okay for women to say, wives to say, I was wrong, you're right. Probably he will try to write it down and memorize the date and time. Yes, we husbands are silly and we goof up a lot. But don't be shy on the compliment. If you do, your husband might stand there with a gaping mouth and don't know what to do for a few minutes. Third point, don't be historical. It's just a man who had another argument overnight, came to work. He was all distraught. And so his co-worker asked him, what happened? He said, it was a rough night. My wife and I argued all night. Whenever we argue, she doesn't become hysterical. She becomes historical. Bring back all the things that I did wrong. Ladies, if your husband sincerely had asked you to forgive his sins or mistake, then you forgive him for it, then please don't bring back to hunt him or to bash him. Aren't you glad the Lord does not do that? Ladies, let me ask you, ladies, aren't you glad the Lord does not do that to you and reminding your sin whenever you come to him in prayer? At the same time, listen. At the same time, I must say this. Authority of your husband, in biblical sense, is not synonym for tyranny. If you're being abused or someone else who you know someone else who is, please know that God does not sentence woman in the lifetime and verbal and emotional and violence, physical violence situation. That is not God's will and design for marriage. If your husband is hurting you or you know somebody's husband is hurting them physically, God is not expecting you or them to take it. You contact police or sheriff department. That husband needs to go to jail and go sit in the jail and think carefully. And sometimes I find out this, the abused wife, in helping him to continue, a word to the husband, I hope none of you are that way, but in case if you physically abuse your wife because you know that she cannot hit you back or fight back, and you feel like a male chauvinist pig because you can dominate your wife physically, I'll tell you what. You need a sparring partner, come see me. I have a very, very little respect. Actually, I have no respect for any man who physically abuse their wives and beating their children. Spanking, disciplining them is one thing, but beating them is a completely different thing. As former chaplain for the sheriff department, I've seen some domestic violence situation. Not pretty. Three applications. Number one, the wife submit to her husband in order to bring honor to God. Second application, submitting to her husband requires respect for him from the heart. Every wife either can build a home or tear it down just like a husband can. If she walks with the Lord, and she's a builder. But if she disobeys the Lord, she will be a destroyer. Proverbs 14:1 says, a wise woman builds the whole house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Third application. Wife must submit to her husband right up to the point where the obedience to human authority would involve disobedience to God. Am I making sense, ladies? Okay, husbands, don't try to skip next week. Don't come up with some lame excuse because it's your turn. Let's stand up and pray. Close your eyes, bow your head, please. Remember what I said at the beginning? If you know something and you don't do, you are responsible. The Lord spoke to you, ladies, wives. You know what to do. And if that is not what you want to do, or that's not what you think that 21st century wives should do, I don't care if you, this is a 31st century, the Word of God is ageless, limitless. It speaks to all of us. Now you know what to do as wives. Please do what the God spoke to you. Husbands, now you got the little glimpse of it, what you are supposed to do. Love your wives as Christ have loved you. Pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. As you go with us, remind us what to do. We learn how to treat each other by submitting to you first. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.